Acts 2, 1 through 12. When the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, IBC. It is so good to be with you this morning as we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. We started with 40 days of fasting and reflecting on the death of our King. And we ended those 40 days with a huge celebration, celebrating that our King defeated death. Amen. Our King defeated death. And so for the past 50 days, we have been celebrating the shape of new life that comes to us through Christ in the form of purpose, freedom, security, power. We have new life in Christ. And we are celebrating our 50 days of feasting. We are culminating that celebration today with a celebration of the gift of the Spirit. So if you would turn into your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you don't have your physical Bible, feel free to turn your attention to the screen and we will read it together. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Friends, as the Holy Spirit fell upon the followers of God, we see the Holy Spirit expressed through the wind, the fire, and the languages. It's marvelous. But sometimes we focus so much on the wind, the fire, the languages, that we forget to marvel at the crux of this passage. Friends, brothers and sisters, hear me now. The Holy Spirit dwells within his people. The Holy Spirit, the God of heavens and earth, the God who created the mountains and the seas, the stars and the skies, the God who knitted us together in our mother's womb, that same God is within us. Praise be to God. If we leave with nothing else, let us leave with the wonder and marvel of the Spirit being within us. This doesn't mean that we ought not reflect on the expression of the Spirit. In fact, in the next few minutes, we will. But friends, may we never lose our wonder that the Holy Spirit is within his people. In light of this amazing gift that we have been given, how then does the Holy Spirit change the reality of all those who follow him? Let's keep reading in Acts chapter 2, picking up in verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Friends, when the Holy Spirit fell on God's people, it enabled the people of God to tell of the wonders of God in different languages. All who were present were enabled to hear and know God. How does the Spirit change the reality of followers? The Spirit calls together a diverse people so that all may know and experience the wonders of God. And they were shocked. The people in the room, they were shocked. The crowd that gathered, they were shocked. What was so surprising about the fact that they heard the Holy Spirit use people to speak in multiple languages? In fact, the text even says these were God-fearing Jews, that although they were from all over the world, they believed in the God who parted the seas and crumbled even the greatest of walls. And yet they were still surprised. Why were they so surprised? To understand this, we actually have to understand the history of the people of God. From the beginning of time, God had created man in his image, and he sent them out, "Go and fill all the earth, that the likeness of God may be known to all." He sent us out to be a light to all nations. Often, we saw the people of God cloistered by tribe and tongue. God's great rescue mission was not a priority for his people. People allowed their tribalism to get in way, to hinder living into the calling that God had put on their lives. And yet, the miracle of the story, and yet the Holy Spirit fell, and people heard in their own languages. Friends, the ethnocentrism of God's people did not keep all from hearing the wonders of God. The Spirit calls together a diverse people so that all may know the wonders of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing stops the work of the Spirit. Not language, not walls, not division, nothing stops the work of the Spirit. It's not to say that language and culture is meaningless. In fact, in this text, we even see the author point to 15 distinct people groups and perhaps languages. There's something deeply captivating and dignifying about the fact that the Holy Spirit fell on God's people and they all heard in their own languages. This reminds me of my childhood. You see, when I was growing up in my early years, I was raised by my grandmother. I'm a child of Indian immigrants, and so my parents were working all the time. My dad worked 3 shifts at Kmart, my mom was a medical technician, and she was studying for her nursing boards. And so my grandmother moved in to take care of my brother and me. English was actually not my first language, and so oftentimes my grandmother would sing songs to me and speak into my life. My grandmother and I were inseparable, so much so that any time that she had a drink, I would fill it to the very brim just so that I can drink the first few sips and share it with her. My grandmother and I shared everything. And she spoke words of truth over my life, specifically the words, "Yeshu nalavin, Yeshu enum nalavin, in the leum inum enum Yeshu nalavin." Jesus is good. Jesus is always good. Yesterday, today, always, Jesus is good. That was the spiritual legacy that my grandmother gave me. Those were the words she spoke over me. So if you tell me Jesus is good, I will wholeheartedly agree with you. In fact, I'll probably say, amen, Jesus is good. But when you tell me, Yeshu na lovin, it captivates my heart. It speaks to my heart. It pierces my soul. It goes deep within. And on Pentecost, God wanted to captivate the hearts of his people. He wanted to birth in them the dignity that he gives them. He wanted to captivate the hearts of his people. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't diminish the differences between culture and tribe and tongue. It's not a coincidence that we don't see everyone understanding one language. The Holy Spirit dignified distinctions, but he brought a diverse people together. So what does this mean for us today? It means two things. First, it means we go. We go and be among who are people that are different than us. It means we are invited to a life of discomfort, unfamiliarity, and often misunderstanding. In the midst of this dissonance, we are invited to trust that the same Holy Spirit that fell on the disciples that day is the same Holy Spirit that is within us, that equips us, that sends us out, that calls us to be a diverse people. The very least, this Holy Spirit within us frees us to take steps of faith. For some of us, that means going to the other side of town and hanging out with people who think, look, talk differently than them. For others of us, it means going deeper with people who are already in our lives that are different. As the Holy Spirit calls together a diverse people, we begin by going. Secondly, as the Holy Spirit calls together this diverse people and we yield to the work of the Spirit in our lives, we too express the God-given dignity of each person. In other words, as we give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, we seek the shalom of our neighbors. We seek the shalom of people who are different than us. Shalom is this Old Testament word that is translated in English as peace. It's used over and over again to mark the calling of God's people as people who are to bear peace to all. But often what gets lost in translation is that shalom often is thought of as being the lack of hostility. But in fact, the fullness of that word is not just the lack of hostility, but it's in addition the presence of good, wholeness, and restoration. Not just the lack of hostility, but the addition of goodness, wholeness, and restoration. Friends, we are invited to be shalom bearers to people who are different than us. We are invited to go out of our way to bring peace to those who are different. And as we reflect on the gift of the Holy Spirit today, let us be people marked by the intentionality in being among a diverse people to whom we are called to tell of the wonders of God and be bearers of peace. In fact, IBCers demonstrate this new reality of peace every week as we participate in the passing of peace. It's often referred to as the greeting or welcoming of those around you that you don't know yet. This rhythm is an outward symbol of an inward reality, the reality that we commit to the welcoming and peace of those around us, of our neighbors. So today, as an act that embodies our commitment to this new reality, let's welcome and greet our neighbors with these words. May the peace of Christ be with you. Feel free to respond by saying, and also with you.
Amen. Good morning, IBC. It's great to see you. Hey, my name is Jason Stein, one of the pastors here at IBC. It's great to be with you today. A moment ago, you had the opportunity to turn to one another and pass the peace, to greet one another. And so I just want to say, if you're new here, maybe you've been here for a few times, but you still consider yourself new, we are so glad you're here and we'd love to connect with you and get to know you a little bit more. So after the service today, make your way to the green Are You New banners. We have some folks who would love to greet you and get to know you a little bit better. So a moment ago, Lisa shared with us from Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit calls together a diverse people. But as we see in the story, the Holy Spirit not only calls together a diverse people, but the Spirit forms his people in community. The Spirit forms his people in community. But I think about that word form and this idea of formation, and I don't think that strikes us altogether that interesting or unique or special. I think when we think about that idea of forming, maybe some of us have in our minds a memory of playing with Play-Doh as a child, right? Some of us maybe think about maybe eating that same Play-Doh as a child, right? But this idea of forming, that God wants to form something in us, is all throughout the pages of the Bible. All throughout Scripture, God uses this idea of forming and formation to talk about the deep work that he wants to do in your life and my life. But oftentimes, I think we approach Christianity as if it's about we mature in the faith by our strength, our willpower, our efforts, as if we're saved by grace, but we grow by effort. And over and over and over in the pages of the Bible, God says, the way in which I want to transform your life is by doing a deep forming work in your heart by the power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit who does this forming work in us. But how does that formation actually happen? How does God do his transforming work in our lives as we experience the love of Jesus and grow as disciples? I think Acts 2 gives us a clue. So where we left off in the story was after the Spirit fell on disciples and they heard languages and tongues, and it was a beautiful moment there, the God calling together diverse people. The Apostle Peter, one of Jesus's earliest disciples, he stands up, he begins to preach to the crowd. He begins to proclaim to them the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And that all who believe and trust in Christ might experience the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Spirit, and life eternal. And the Scripture says on that day, 3,000 people believed and were baptized. Look with us at Acts 2, verses 42. Look what it says next. It says, they being the 3,000, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and they had everything in common. I think that this passage here in Acts 2 is a snapshot or a summary or a picture of life in the early church. And from this passage, I think we see four specific ways in which the Spirit wants to unite his people and form his people into the likeness and image of Jesus. We see four formative practices, if you will: Scripture, prayer, fellowship, communion, ways in which God wants to do his deep and transforming work in our lives. And I think there's something in this passage for you and I to pay attention to. Luke begins by telling us that these 3,000 believers, they devoted themselves to these four practices. To be devoted to something is to give yourself completely to something, to be all in, to persist in something. And Luke tells us that because of the Spirit of God in them and their love for God, that these new Jesus followers, they devoted themselves to the things of God. They devoted themselves to what the apostles taught, to what Jesus taught. See, what Jesus taught his first disciples, he handed down to others. And we have those teachings, those accounts, those records contained for us in Scripture. So we believe that this is the word of God for the people of God. And that God's word has something to say to us today. And that God makes himself personally known to us on the pages of Scripture. Because you see, the Spirit uses the Bible as an instrument to change us from the inside out. That the Spirit uses this to form us into the likeness and image of Jesus. We want to be a people who experience God's transforming love and work in our lives. And Acts 2 tells us that the Spirit begins that transforming work as we devote ourselves to the Word of God. And as we lean in and listen and obey what he might want to say to us through it. So not only does the Spirit form people as they devote themselves to Scripture, but the Spirit forms people as they devote themselves to prayer. See, these early disciples, they prayed with one another and they prayed for one another. And one of Jesus' last instructions to his disciples was that they would wait and pray in Acts 1. It was a posture, if you will, of dependence upon God. And even after the Spirit came on Pentecost, they still had that posture of prayer. They were dependent upon God. They realized that they could not do anything apart from God. And friends, can I just tell you this morning, we need to reclaim that posture of prayer. We need to be a people who desperately need God. Therefore, we depend on him. Therefore, we pray frequently and fervently because we know of our desperate need for God. We need to reclaim a posture of prayer. We need to be men and women who pray the Lord's Prayer like we just prayed a moment ago, praying that heaven would come to earth. Heaven would come to our families, our neighborhoods, our schools, our communities. That God's transforming work would be in our lives and in your lives, in the communities around us. So the Spirit forms people not only as they devote themselves to Scripture, as they devote themselves to prayer, but as they devote themselves to one another, Luke tells us. Luke tells us that they were committed to this idea of fellowship. And this idea of fellowship is not pound cakes and deviled eggs from church potlucks. It's a much stronger and deeper word that Luke uses here. It's this idea of a shared life together. That they were in life-giving and life-sustaining relationships with one another. That they were committed to the good, to the well-being, and to the spiritual growth and development of others in the community. It's as if that their presence mattered to one another. And can I just tell you something? Your presence matters in this place. Because if you belong to Jesus, you belong to one another. And your presence matters to the other people in this room and to this place. That we can't grow and mature without the aid of one another. And I believe the Spirit wants to use the person over here to help the person over here. And the Spirit wants to use the person over here to help the person up there. That we are a community formed as we do this work together. That the Spirit is at work in us, forming and shaping us. Acts 2 also tells us that they had everything in common. Now that doesn't mean they thought the same, they acted the same, they dressed the same, they voted the same, or they all rooted for the same sports team. That's not what is going on here in Acts 2. Rather, they loved each other. They demonstrated a radical hospitality toward one another, even those who were different from them. You see, the centrality of the gospel is what bound them together and knit their hearts as one. But if we're honest, as we look at the news, as we scroll through Facebook, we don't see that today, do we? I think we find ourselves living in a cultural moment that's marked by divisions, labels, and barriers. And what our world desperately needs to see is a group of people radically committed to loving one another, to embracing one another, to welcoming one another, because we have been welcomed by Christ. Therefore, we welcome and love others. I think the gospel demands this of us. And God's desire is that we would be a unified community. And this can only happen as we yield to the transforming work of the Spirit in each of our lives. The Spirit forms them as they devote themselves to Scripture, to prayer, and to one another. And lastly, the Spirit forms them as they remember and celebrate communion. Verse 42 tells us that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Not only did they share meals together in homes, but they broke bread in a special way. They celebrated communion, the Lord's table. And it says they did it frequently. I think they did it frequently because they needed to be reminded of something. And I think what they needed to be reminded of is what you and I need to be reminded of today. And the reason is this. We are prone to forget the gospel. We are prone to approach the spiritual life as if we can do it on our own, by our own strength and our own willpower. And over and over and over again, Scripture says, we can do nothing apart from God. And so we need to be reminded of the gospel. We need to be anchored in the good news of the gospel that we celebrate. When we come to this table, we remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he was raised from the grave as a champion over defeating sin and death. When we come to this table, we celebrate that. And so I think it's altogether appropriate that on this day, on Pentecost Sunday, that we as a community, that we as a family of faith, that we as a Jesus-centered, Spirit-formed church, that we come to this table and we celebrate and we remind ourselves of the gospel, remind ourselves of the Spirit that is at work in us today. And so in a moment, you're gonna be invited to come to the table. If you can't navigate the steps, simply slip up your hand. One of our ushers would be more than happy to bring you the elements. The altar is open if you'd like to pray and light a candle. So on the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks saying, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, new access to God through my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul says, as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim his gospel until he comes again. The Spirit calls his people together and the Spirit forms his people. Let's come to the table now.
You heard earlier, the Spirit calls together this diverse group of people. Look around the room. It's so beautiful being in a room that's this diverse. Gender, age, socioeconomic, ethnic. The diversity is so wide. And isn't it beautiful when the Spirit calls us together? The second thing we heard is the Spirit forms us in community by doing these rhythms that Jason said, including going to the table. The third movement that we wanted to look at this morning is that the Spirit multiplies missionary disciples. Can I go back to the scripture real quick? Look at Acts chapter 2 again. The last couple of verses, if you have your Bible, turn to it. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The Spirit multiplies missionary disciples. A number of years ago now, myself and three other pastors from Irving Bible Church had the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing to go to Africa. We actually did this like whirlwind tour. It was 10 days, went to like five different countries. And we were working with our partners there, Alarm and Water is Basic. And they were showing us just one thing after another where we saw that the Spirit was moving. And we were just blown away. But one thing specifically struck me, and it happened right at the beginning of the trip. Right outside of Nairobi, Kenya, which is where we flew in to start our journey, is one of the largest slums in the world. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in just abject poverty, living in squalor. I remember as we drove out of the airport, we came around this curve and we just saw like hills just packed with these tin huts and tarps and mud, and we couldn't even get the cars in there, so we had to park outside and we then had to walk and make our way through these little small roads. We finally made our way to this one little home, and it was hardly what any of us would call a home here. We opened up a tarp door and we walked in, and we were greeted by this lady that I will never forget. She hugged us. She welcomed us in. All of a sudden, food was coming from different places, and they had soft drinks and all these things that we know was her giving everything for us to be there. And as she shared her story, we were blown away of how the Spirit had transformed her life. You see, she was a new Christian. She just met Jesus through this little small church that was blossoming in this, in this slum. And she realized that her life needed to change, but she didn't have the resources. And so through Alarm, she got a microfund and got this loan and started this little business of sewing clothes together. And her business took off. And one of the things that she did as her business was taking off, she started sharing how the Spirit was moving in her life and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And people were saved. I remember walking outside of that house. And I remember opening up the door, and all of a sudden, there was like hundreds of people just jammed into this little small road. And I remember she started going from one person to another and said, "Pastor, here, you need to meet this person, meet this person." And every one of them was saying, "I just met Jesus. I just got baptized a couple weeks ago." It was Acts 2. It was the Acts 2 church. And I was changed. Now, here's what I think happens in a room like that when you share a story. You think, well, that's Africa. That's Nairobi, Kenya. Okay, how about Coppell, Texas? A couple years ago, my wife, Alice, and I were invited to an IBCer's home. We didn't know him well. We had seen him a couple of times. We really liked them, same stage of life kind of thing. We were invited to their home. We walked up. It was a beautiful home. They were both careers, had gone well. He had his own business. Things were taking off. I remember when we walked in the door, there was kind of this like rustle. There was all kinds of people in the house and like kids were running by and we're trying to figure out like who's who. And we didn't know. We kind of got into the dining room and sat down and over a glass of wine, they shared their story. And they said, "We've been Christians for 30 plus years. We've been going to IBC. And over the past couple of months, God was doing something in our lives. So we wanted to change." They read a couple of books. They did some things together. And their life was transformed. And what they decided as a family, as a home, they were going to live differently. So they started giving in different ways. And his business, he'd shifted and did things for nonprofits. She shifted out of her career and felt called to be a foster parent. She went down this journey. And that's quite frankly why all these kids were running around. There was all these kids around that we couldn't even identify who. They have a large home and they had extra rooms. And so they opened up the rooms to people in our community that didn't have money or couldn't pay for rent and needed a place to stay. I remember as we walked out of that home, I remember thinking, that is an Acts 2 home. Just this weekend, I heard of another story, if you haven't heard enough yet. There's a lady by the name of Diana Thomas. Diana is involved in our Legacy Bible Community. If you know about Bible Communities, if you know about Legacy, this is a group that's really doing some amazing things. They're this Acts 2 group, but Diana has been transformed. She's realizing God's calling in her life. She has met the Lord. The Spirit is moving her, and she is getting ready to move to the Middle East. She's going on to the mission field. She was called, and she responded to the Spirit. Today, after this service, all of you are invited. They're going to do a party at Legacy Class. And they're going to do a party to celebrate her, pray for her, commission her, support her as she goes to the Middle East. She's going to be doing ministry with missionaries that are already there, a tough environment, but she feels called. She felt led by the Lord. She is being moved by the Spirit, and she is an Acts 2 kind of Christian. Now, those are three quick stories. And those are the kinds of stories that have informed and shaped what we want to be about as a church in these days. I hope you've heard it. We want to be a transformed people that are transforming the city. We want rescue and renewal to be spread like wildfire through this community, sparked by the men and women, the children, the youth of IBC. Now, here's what I know. I've been a Christian for a long time. I hit Acts 2, and a lot of times I think, that's pretty cool. And then I just move on. Do you know why? As a pastor, I'm far too often compelled to think about my comfort, to think about me, to say that's then, that's not now. What if I open up my home? What if I change things? I far too often do that. Do you? You see, in these days as a church, we want to be about Acts chapter 2. We want it to inform how we live. Let me just make a comment. There are people in this room that don't know Jesus. We get that. There are people in this room that have been coming to church, but you're not even sure you're going to keep coming back to church. There are people in this room that grew up in church, and it's just not really transforming your life. I'm sure all of you, maybe you're not aware, but you do any research, you can see the church in America, the millennials, the 20s and 30s, the teenagers, they're stepping away from the church. And I'll just say this. You know what they're not stepping away from? Acts chapter 2 churches. Do you know what they're stepping away from? The churches that are there for people to consume things, to not live a life not live a life that is dedicated and living for what the Spirit is doing today. They are leaving churches that are not following Acts chapter 2. And I don't want us to miss for one moment. That is the kind of church we want to be about. It's why we're focused on discipleship in these days. It's why we're looking at every ministry we do here, everything we do, and line it up and say, is this going to help us get to transform people that are transforming the city? Are we making missionary disciples that are multiplying, being sent out? Are we being an Acts 2 church? Or are we just a church that's in the community and does some fun things, but it doesn't really lead to transformation? I don't know where you're at. But here's what our role is as a church. We want to spark a movement. And here's what we all know about movements. They don't start without what? Movement. And I don't know where you're at, but I challenge you on Pentecost Sunday, 2017, what if today was the day you moved? You took one step. Maybe you're doing well, but you need to take another step of faith. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe you don't know the Lord at all. No matter where you're at, you can take a step today. And our role as a church is to be there for you, to help you. My role as a pastor, all of the pastors, all the staff, the elders, the key volunteers in this room, they will step with you, walk with you, because we want to be Acts chapter 2. We want to see a diverse community formed in community and multiply, sending out missionary disciples to transform our city and to transform the world. These are big goals. These are big things. These are things that we can't do by just rolling out some programs. These are things that only happen when people get on their knees and pray. As Jason said, this is what we need to do. We need to pray. And so here's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna end our service a little bit early. And we're gonna give you a couple of things to consider, some action steps, some movement. I know sometimes when you sit in sermons, I know I do it, I think, I wonder what I'm going to do this week after that. Far be it for that to happen today. Let me give you a challenge. In a moment, I'm going to close in prayer. But before I do, I want to encourage you to walk out of this room and head right out through those doors and go to the town square. In the town square, you're going to find five different areas. They're all different areas that represent actually different neighbors here in our community. We picked five, we recognize, because we are so diverse here. There are so many, hundreds of different diversity, but we have five different areas. One is Arabic neighbors, Latino neighbors. We have an area with South Asian neighbors. We have some homeless neighbors and some refugee neighbors. At each of those stops, there are some things that you can pick up, little cards that you can pick up, and you can take this week and start in prayer, praying for these neighbors. You'll also be invited next Sunday. There is gonna be some classes, some groups are getting together and really figuring out how can we bless our neighbors, this demographic. I'd encourage you to pick up two or three. Pick up at five if you want. But I want to encourage you to take a step today to bless our neighbor. Now, here's the thing. Here's what Irving Bible Church does really well. We celebrate. We're also going to have food and drink out there. There's going to be dancing going on. There's going to be a big party, because when we see what God does, when we are an Acts 2 type of church, when we're about transform people that are transforming the city, we get to celebrate. That's what we did this morning, and that's what we're going to do outside. So here's what I want to do. I want to close in prayer, and then I want to release you out there to be a transformed person that's transforming the city. Would you stand with me? As we close our time together, as soon as I'm done praying, you're gonna hear some cool music. I hope it just inspires you to live a life that's not about comfort. It's not about ease. It's not about money, status, all of the things you hear. But it's a life led by the Spirit that's transforming you and transforming our city. Will you pray with me? And then let's go celebrate out in the town square what the church should be today. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for each person in this room. It's not an accident that they're here. Lord, it is so beautiful when we look and we see what happened on the day of Pentecost, the birth of your church, where we saw the Spirit call together this beautiful, diverse people, forming them in community, then sending them out, multiplying them as missionary disciples so the world would be changed. Lord, that's the kind of church we want to be today. That's the kind of homes we want to have today, and that's the kind of people we want to be. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. Lord, send us out now as transformed people to transform the city. Let's go celebrate out in town square. Thank you, guys.